This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation! It is Jordan Duncan coming to you from the Pop Feed. First time in a while, and I am here with a brand new show. It's not about wrestling, it's not about comic books, it's not about horror movies, it's not about music. It's about something that really transcends all of those things. It's about fine arts, it's about the human spirit, it's about passion, it's about acting, it's about really perfection. It's about Saved by the Bell. Welcome to Saved by the Bell cast, our first episode. I'm going to be going through the episodes of Saved by the Bell, a childhood favorite show of mine. And I've got a co-host that is going to be watching along with me. I'll bring him in right now. Coming to you from the Great White North, not from Montreal, Quebec area tonight. He's a little farther west. Mr. Aaron George, welcome to the show.
I don't know why I agreed to go and do this. I have a family. I have work. My free time is not – it's not an abundance. There's not an abundance of free time. And I feel like this – what we're doing now falls into the category of wasting my life.
And I'm glad to waste my life with you, Aaron.
Well, I'm glad to be doing it with you, Jordan. I will say that.
You know, sometimes in the past, you remember the old live watches where they would watch those first few episodes of Raw together, like live? And
yes.
I was on a couple of those, and sometimes I was like, why are we watching this? And now here we are setting out to watch through an entire show that, let's be real, if there's people tuning in to a Saved by the Bell podcast, there's probably some fans, and I don't know that you'll like this show because we're going to be honest about it. It's 2019. I grew up on the show. Aaron, you did not, so a lot of this is going to be brand new to you, which is why I wanted you specifically to be on the show.
Unspoiled.
Yes.
I'm unspoiled.
Unspoiled. You will be spoiled and tainted by the time this thing's done. The good news is it's only, I think, 4 or 5 seasons. It's not, you know.
It's tragic.
It's not The Simpsons or anything. Like
40 seasons of The Simpsons.
I know. What do you think would be worse, a Saved by the Bell podcast or a show about like the last 5 seasons of The Simpsons?
For sure, the last 5 seasons. Like,
yeah.
The sad part is you can do one of like the last 20 seasons and you still be upset.
Yeah. So just a little peek behind the curtain. We are taping on Valentine's Day. Obviously, it will not air the night of taping. Aaron, how did you spend your Valentine's Day?
Obviously, we do not care about our wives.
No, we do not. My wife is out in the living room watching probably something better than Saved by the Bell right now.
For sure. Like, either that or she's crying alone because you're not with her. Have you considered that?
Or maybe she's working on her dance moves. Maybe she was watching over my shoulder today.
That would be nice. Yeah. How did I spend Valentine's Day? Well, it's only 5 p.m. here, so to give you some context, I'm 3 hours behind you. But I spent Valentine's Day by tripping over my Airbnb roommate's shoes for the 5th time today because they insist on putting them in the middle of the hallway. I spent the day protecting my food because I've had it stolen nonstop since I've been here. I have experienced a bunch of smells that I didn't want to experience.
That's fun.
It's been an interesting day.
So, you know, we're obviously going to talk about Saved by the Bell, but let's talk about some other things as well. Like, living in the U.S., obviously, I'm from Michigan, and different parts of the country kind of have different stereotypes and things like that, like the southern stereotypes and stuff like that. So you're from the East Coast, not the coast, but...
Yeah.
Eastern Canada, and you're far west now. Are there any stereotypes of the Vancouver people? Is leaving shoes in the hallway like a trait that they're known for?
I hope not, because I wanted to have faith in this place. No, what's the difference? I mean, look, I live in an area where like no one talks. Like, I live in Montreal, which is it's a pretty French area, right? Mm-hmm. And so, as a consequence of this constant language war and language police and language nonsense, like no one really talks to each other. No one's friendly. Mm-hmm. Whereas out here, it's everybody's very friendly. But Vancouver is also one of the places where you get all the pros of Canada with none of the cons. Like it rarely ever snows. Like it I mean, it is now. It's like a goddamn. It's just a blizzard outside right now, but which never happened. And the city is shut down, like shut down. So you get all the positives, none of the negatives. But it's crazy expensive to live, apparently. So
okay, gotcha. So
and a lot of potheads.
A lot of potheads. Okay, so more pros, I guess. I don't think either of us have ever visited the city of Bayside. But that is where we will be spending a lot of time over these episodes as we venture into Bayside High School and get to know and love, Aaron. You will love some of the coolest teenagers in the world and Screech Powers.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
So what we're going to do, this is not a live watch. It's not something where we have the episode synced or anything like that. I watched the episode on my own. Aaron watched it on and his own. I watched on Hulu. I think the entire run is on Hulu. Aaron, you watch on Daily Motion, correct?
Yeah, and it was an experience.
Yeah.
So, number one, I watched it apparently through a mirror because everything was reversed. So, I mean, if you want to talk the subtleties of the blocking when characters move from left to right, I might be a bit lost.
Okay.
And it was also interrupted approximately every 4 minutes by a Chinese ad for paper towel.
Oh, okay.
But not where the breaks are in the show.
Like midline?
Midline. Like this ballerina knocks over a glass, this guy dressed in paper towel wipes on the floor. I don't understand what they're talking about.
It's Mr. Sparkle, right?
Yeah. It's basically that. I guess it's because I'm in Vancouver and there's a pretty heavy concentration of Asian people. So.
And they need their paper towel. So
fuck every who doesn't? Who do, you know who doesn't have paper towel? This Airbnb that I had to buy my own paper towel.
Well, there's a Chinese brand that's probably significantly cheaper and absorbs the mess a lot better. So
there's a Chinese the supermarket next to me is Chinese, and I've never seen as many live fish in a supermarket in my life.
Gosh. So, you know, I adopted a daughter, and she's from China.
Yeah.
So ever since we've had her home, we've celebrated Chinese New Year. And last year we found a Chinese grocery store. Not Chinese, Asian. So like all Asian food, like Vietnamese, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, very different delicacies. At the risk of being insensitive, first of all, it was the most foul-smelling building I've ever been in my life. Because like you said, there's just fish everywhere and like parts of animals that I would never think about eating. It's something. So now that we've offended billions of people.
Well, actually, you incorporated most of Asia. So.
That's true. I mean, we got to throw Vietnam in there and things like that. So, and that's the funny part about it. I mean, obviously, everything was written in the native languages, but I didn't know, like, we bought stuff to celebrate Chinese New Year. We probably bought, like, Korean food and Japanese food. Who knows if we actually bought Chinese food or not. Like, we just kind of pick stuff that we would actually eat, you know? So
when your daughter is 20 and it's like, you denied me my culture, these are the reasons why.
Right. Well, the funny thing is, she if I were to ask her any food she would want a hamburger with pickles on it. So,
oh, you've Americanized the little Asian girl.
Oh, we absolutely have. So, okay. So, quick thing to point out, if you're going to watch the episodes with us, I watched on Hulu. Aaron watched on Daily Motion. There is a difference. You may have them on DVD, Jason Sherman. You may have them memorized and don't need to rewatch them.
Jason Sherman.
Yeah. But on Hulu, the episode we start with is season 2. So, Aaron, I told you start with season 2, but on Daily Motion it's not. And there's a reason for that. Saved by the Bell has this first season, and we're going to skip it entirely. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it now. Basically, it's – you know how when a TV show does a pilot episode and then it gets picked up and the future episodes have some definite changes, like sometimes a cast member changes or things like that?
Yeah.
Well, the whole first season of Saved by the Bell is almost like that. It's like 13 full episodes and then all of a sudden everything just changes. So the first season is basically Zach is there, Screech is there, and Lisa's there.
They're the ones that – they kept?
Yes. And if you go back and watch one of those first season ones, you'll see why they kept those three. Because there's a kid named Mikey who's like Slater before he got muscles. He's terrible. There's another girl who I don't even remember her name. But the big difference with that first season is the show was kind of like half about the kids, but also about the teachers, specifically a teacher named Miss Bliss, starring it was Haley Mills, star of The Parent Trap, if you ever saw that movie.
No.
And it's bad TV that's just bad, but not in spectacular fashion like what we're watching. So I think it's skippable. I think Saved by the Bell fans don't really consider it canon, so I think we can skip over it. What is funny about it is Mr. Belding is in that season, so he travels with them, and they just uproot. It's in Indiana in the first season, and now we're in Bayside, California.
But they changed the location?
Yeah, but I think the school is still called Bayside, so Bayside, Indiana.
Indiana? Which bay are they referring to?
I don't know, oceanfront property in Indiana, I guess. So, but yeah, so we're starting technically season two, episode one. So let's get right into it. You've been stalling. I know you don't want to do this, but it's time to talk about Dancing to the Max.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the intro? Before we do anything, can we talk about the Microsoft Paint intro that the show has?
When I wake up in the morning. Oh, yeah.
And the flamingos and the backwards writing. Like, why was the writing backwards?
Well, why not? They're Saved by the Bell, Aaron. Let me tell you something. That is a song that will, whether you hate it or love it, and you will probably hate it, it will stick with you.
I don't mind the song, to be honest. It's okay.
By five episodes in, you're going to know every word, and you'll be humming along with it. But yeah, it is definitely reminiscent of its time. It's Saved by the Bell, I think the episode we're talking about tonight was actually 1989, but it's a 90s show.
And it looks like a 90s show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Why don't we take a second so you don't have to really talk about what you hate. Let me tell you about my history of Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell is a show that I grew up with. It aired on Saturday mornings, but the big reason why people my age really have this bond to it is syndication. You remember back in the day, like, first of all, there wasn't a trillion TV channels.
No.
And Saved by the Bell was one of those shows that was on every day. It was on either TBS or Fox 50 or something. It was always on. Even though there's only like 60 episodes, it was always on. And the Brady Bunch, for some reason, was another show like that. And all I can think is it must have been really cheap to get the syndication rights.
Yeah, no one cared.
But it was on a million channels, and it was always on. I have seen every episode. I'm not exaggerating. I've probably seen every episode minimum 10 times. Back in the day, you just didn't have a lot of stuff to watch. Not that I would have really sit an inch away from the TV like in awe, but you'd come home, you turn the TV on, do your homework, do something, whatever, and have the TV on, and it was always Saved by the Bell. So
I was in awe watching it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, about 2 minutes into this episode, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to talk to Aaron about this. but let's talk about Dancing to the Max. I did look up, it originally aired in August of 1989, so that's
what were you
really
doing in August of 1989?
What's that?
What were you doing in August of 1989?
I was prepping for the big dance, I think.
At Bayside?
Yeah. No, I was 10 years old. In August, I was probably playing baseball, maybe some Nintendo. I don't think I got into Saved by the Bell as it was airing right away. Maybe by the – I do remember like when they graduate high school. I was following along as episodes were new, but yeah, I would have been 10 years old, so I wasn't doing much, just hanging out. That's about it. How about you?
I was 9.
Okay.
I was probably playing soccer.
Okay.
All of our teams were named after Native American tribes, which I know would not fly today, but I distinctly at one point remember being part of the Apache tribe.
Hmm.
Team, not tribe.
Okay, well, I'm just going to throw this out there. Aaron, if you could pick any of the main characters from Saved by the Bell and I were to tell you there's an episode where they find out they are part Native American, who do you think it would be?
Well, like, it's got to be it should be Mario Lopez.
It's not.
It's going to be Zach Morris.
It sure is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. I can't wait to get to that.
The biggest struggle for me is going to be wanting to skip episodes and go, let's watch this one next. Let's watch this one next. But we can't do that. We got to go plow through this whole thing. And there's going to be some duds along the way. Duds for what I'm hoping to achieve here. So Dancing to the Max just throws us right in. By the way, for kind of like a debut episode, they just expect you to understand who all these people are, don't they?
Yeah. And they're not even – they don't even care that, like, Dustin Diamond's face is, like, really upsetting. they just present it without any sort of trigger warning. Like, this is why we need these things in society today.
Right. Yeah, he along with Urkel, he was one of, like, the big TV nerds of our childhood. And Steve Urkel was kind of like – legit like a handsome guy, and he end up being like, well, Stefan and handsome and things like that. But Dustin Diamond was just always Screech, and he looked like a Screech, didn't he?
And you know, it's funny because all the other actors on the show look like young actors that are clearly probably playing people that are a bit older than them, right? He just looks like a kid.
He really does.
It's like they actually found a real nerd, and filmed him for like an afternoon. Like, and even the way he moves, he doesn't move like a professional actor. I mean,
he's not very good.
No, he's awful.
Yeah,
the word you're looking for is garbage.
I would like to say he gets better as the show goes on. He probably doesn't. He does grow though, and we see him go through puberty, basically, before our very eyes. Not literally before our very eyes, but we grow up with Screech, and
there's a tape somewhere if you want to see it.
Yeah, if you want to see that literal growth before your eyes, that's out there as well. I don't think.
Why is he the one who has?
You know, I was going to ask you that question. I thought, let's keep it PG, but let's go there. I don't know. Literally any other option, but
I would have been fine with Byron. Byron would have been fine.
Byron.
The guy who dumps the handicapped girl would be fine. I'd rather watch an erotic film of him.
Oh, gosh. You know, as I was looking into this, I stumbled upon Mario Lopez's Twitter account.
Why?
He does not look a day older now than he does in this show. It's...
No, he is like the embodiment of Apollo, the Greek god.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, he doesn't.
It's crazy, and it's got to be. Let's segue into this. It's got to be his dance skills, because about 2 minutes into the episode,
he's
we are
it.
Treated to Slater, AC Slater, showing us what a real dancer looks like. What do you think about Slater's dance moves, Aaron?
I mean, they're preposterous, but they're good.
Like, he does have rhythm. Yeah. So
the first couple of moves he does with his arms, I was like, oh, what is this? Like, it's basically the Humpty dance, like a fit or a convulsion, like. But then he gets into it. I will say this: there's no way he gets into a restaurant in 2019 wearing that shirt. They will deny him service immediately.
Hey, let's talk about the restaurant too, because they are in the Max, and that is going to be a very famous hangout for the gang. The Max is basically around for the entire run of the show, but spoiler alert: Max himself is not.
Well, because he's a registered sex offender, right?
Yes, which is a question I had for you. Do you think when you were in high school, if there was a hangout and a grown man came out and started doing magic tricks involving, like, business cards, would you give him a round of applause, or would you mock him derisively?
Well, hold on. Let's first state that they gave no shits about his magic show. That was a begrudging applause they received. Number two, there's a lot of things that would be very different if it was a real high school.
Sure.
Like this guy, he would not get any respect. We wouldn't be in his place. Screech would be beaten mercilessly. There's a lot of things that would be very different. And maybe I just come from a different dark place, right?
No, I come from the same place. And I think that's the one thing that TV shows have never truly captured. Every TV show always has this idea that the popular kid just happens to be friends with one big nerd. And that's never true. When I was in high school, I was not the most popular. I was not the nerd. But I knew who the nerds were, and they did not hang out with the star athletes at all.
No. And none of this, he's doing my homework so I'm hanging out with him like Harry Osborn and Peter Parker. That never happened.
Sure, yeah. That does happen a little bit with Screech down the road, but it's established that he's a friend of theirs beyond his intelligence. So
yeah, they treat him with way too much respect. Like, he doesn't even look like he should be in the same grade as them.
No, he looks like a little... He looks like he could be Slater's... Like if we had, like, a twin situation with, like, Arnold and DeVito. Like, Slater and Screech are the twins, you know?
Or he could be, like, Zach Morris's blood brother later on.
Or Eskimo brother. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
But so yeah, the episode starts literally with a bunch of teenagers dancing in a restaurant.
The whitest dance you could ever imagine.
Yeah, just
like all of them together.
My dad would probably call it prancing. Like, they're just kind of hopping around. And then Max interrupts the fun, sees teenage girls dancing, and of course he has to pray. Swoops in, introduces himself, because I think by law he has to do that. And he announces that that dance party is going to be having a show taped right there at the Max, and Casey Kasem will be there.
They are not wasting any time with this exposition. No. Like, it's literally like 20 seconds into this thing.
Yeah, we haven't even heard some of the characters' names yet, and we're already getting deep into the episode's plot, you know. And so we've got a couple different plots that we're going to get into. Let's do this. Let's go over the main characters and talk about what they got going on in the episode. We've got Slater. We've talked about a little bit. Slater's role is pretty clearly defined in this first episode. He's a musclehead, and he's Zach's friend, but also his foe. And we'll
his
see
rival.
That. Yeah, he is definitely a rival. We'll see that throughout the entire series history. They are best buds, but they're also at each other's throats from time to time. Often over the hand of Miss Kelly Kapowski, who is really caught in a love triangle tonight, trying to figure out who she's going to dance with. Is it going to be Slater? Is it going to be Zach? If you were Kelly, who would you want to go with?
I'd go with the gun in my mouth. I mean, they're both idiots.
Yeah.
She is maybe the worst actor that I've ever seen. Like, we'll get to the music section later on, but she is what I would call sawing a cello for the entirety of the music.
Yes, that scene is something that we need to discuss in a minute. So she's trying to decide who to go with. Zach clearly likes her, and he kind of makes up this big lie that he can outdance Slater, but that's his little subplot for the episode, is that Zach can't dance.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he's going to have to learn to dance, and he goes to his apparently lifelong friend, which is Jesse Spano.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, and it's even
weirder.
Because
that's not established at all.
It's weirder for people like us who watched the first season where Jesse was not there at all. And Jesse did not live in Indiana with Zach.
Yeah, I was going to ask you... Wait. There's too many questions. So she's not in the first. I was going to ask you if she's in the first one because
she's not.
They behave as though we're supposed to know that they're best friends.
Yeah, and that's something I wrote down that, like, I was thinking, like, okay, what's Aaron going to think of this? And 2 minutes into the episode, I know all these people because I've seen it all, but my first thought was, well, if I didn't know these people, they sure expected that I should know these people.
Yeah, no, I didn't know who – like, look, my first – the first note I wrote, this is the very first note I wrote, Ed Alonso seems like a monster. That's from the intro. The next one was, hey, it's the showgirls girl.
Yep.
which immediately made her the most interesting character on the show for me. Yeah, like they – I don't know. Like, it's easy enough to follow, I guess. Like, sure. I wasn't confused per se, but my question, where it almost broke my brain before, was that did they ever establish that he used to live in Indiana?
No, it's never mentioned.
Okay,
and it's also never mentioned that Mr. Belding was his principal in Indiana and now in California. Somehow, Mr. Belding moved with him.
I had a guy in my grade throughout elementary school. His dad was the principal.
Oh, that would suck.
Moved to high school. Dad is the vice principal.
Oh, wow.
Last year of high school, dad gets outed as a sex offender.
Oh, wow.
Yeah crazy, right? This guy we've known. And now we're with his son, too. like.
Wow.
Like, I'm not trying to make light of it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I know why you went down that train of thought, because why would Mr. Belding move across the country to follow
exactly
three specific students?
That made me think of it. Obviously, he's banging them. Obviously.
And now he's hanging out backstage at Raw and SmackDown, so.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like, well, we'll get to him. Let's get to him first. So, who are we talking about now? We talked about...
We talked about Zach's story.
Friendship. Yeah. Friendship, yeah. Your weird friendship. Oh, this is the first time you've ever come through my door. It's the only time we've ever seen him go in the room.
But they do show that there's a giant tree branch outside her window, so I guess we're supposed to figure out that's how he usually gets in.
I guess. Yeah. That didn't occur to me until she said it.
Yeah.
All that occurred to me was that there's a bed in the room, and if this show was made now, they would already be having sex.
Yes, that's very, very true.
And I also thought at the moment, because they spend a lot of time in that room, him and her, I'm like, wow, her parents are really okay with this.
Yeah, especially blonde, 1989.
Yeah, blonde young guy upstairs in a closed room with their daughter.
Yeah, and if it's someone that they've known their whole lives, as we will get to know Zach Morris, they're terrible parents for allowing that to happen. Because
yeah.
What we're going to learn about Zach as the show goes on is that he may be the star of the show, and he may be the one that we are encouraged to root for, but he does some really, truly heinous things to further his own agendas. So we'll talk about those. He doesn't really do much in this episode. He's off the hook tonight, but he's got some stuff coming. We'll talk about that in a segment a little later. But Jessie's got some issues of her own because she wants to go to the dance, and
Yep. She
likes to dance, as we saw in music class. She just leaps up and starts... dancing around, but she's just too tall.
Yep.
So my question, Aaron, would you date a giant?
The girl that I was infatuated with from almost my entire high school life was taller than me.
Oh, okay.
I probably did endear myself to her by calling her Chewbacca. Years after the fact, it's like, oh, it's too bad we never dated. Then I started thinking about it, like, yeah, I called her Chewbacca, like, pretty consistently, and I once hit her in the face with a basketball.
On purpose?
No, I threw a basketball, and I don't know, she wasn't paying attention, and it just smashed her face.
Gotcha. So, yeah, Jessie becomes very aware of the fact that she's taller than every boy in school. In this episode, she figures this all out. It leads us to a dream sequence, which becomes kind of a staple of the show. We see a lot of dream sequences moving forward, where she just keeps growing and growing and growing. And I think it's interesting that she thinks teenage boys would be put off by the idea of being eye level with a woman's boobs. You know?
Yeah, right?
Like, no, gross.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
But then the other thing, too, is that she's bitching about height to Zach Morris. And when they stand up next to each other, she's like, what, an inch taller than him?
Yeah, she's like, barely taller than him at all.
Yeah, like, it's not like there's that much of a difference right there.
No,
Do all the dream sequences have that pink frame around
them?
Yeah,
they sure do.
Because I know better technology existed at that point. I mean, they built an entire cantina in Star Wars. Like, aliens and monsters. Like,
yep. Yeah, they absolutely that pink border is there for every dream sequence with the black background. Let me tell you a couple dream sequences that we see off the top of my head.
Tell me the dream sequence and I'll try to match the character.
Okay. Someone's lizard dies and we have a sequence of who killed it, something like that. It's a little foggy to me. Whose lizard dies?
Lisa Turtle.
I think it's Screech's. I think.
I was going to say Screech. I went, yeah. It didn't go obvious.
that's the first dream sequence that comes to my mind. If another one comes to me, we'll just stop what we're talking about and I'll get back to it. But
can we talk about Lisa Turtle for a minute?
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about Lisa.
So, in my understanding, she's a nerd. She's a female nerd, right?
Yeah, you know, in this episode, she kind of comes off that way, but she doesn't stay that way. At all.
Because she has this line at the top, mm-hmm. and I think it might be the line reading. Like, I think Screech asks her to go to the dance, mm-hmm. And then she says, my horoscope says, wear dorks. And gotta be the line reading, right? Like, it's supposed to be where, but it said where, and it... She didn't look like a dork. She's just wearing a stupid sweater, but we all wore stupid sweaters there.
Right. Like, so the true character of Lisa's kind of hinted at when she mentions later in the episode that how she hurt herself, which that's her thing. She gets a date to the dance, but she hurts herself. And she did it by kicking the TV because Revlon had a commercial and her makeup was discontinued, which made me wonder why a commercial would say what they've discontinued.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, you would advertise what you're still selling.
You're advertising your failure.
Right. But Lisa's thing, as we'll kind of get into the episodes, is she's kind of like the rich one and she's the spoiled princess.
Oh.
We didn't really see a lot of that tonight.
No, I mean she won something that she didn't deserve to win.
That's true. But there was there was just way too much dancing. They couldn't fit in all that character exposition.
That's true. In the first episode.
Yeah. Should we establish who this girl is? Nah, let's just dance.
Let's break her ankle and have her dance on a broken ankle.
Now Lisa was in the first season with Zach back in Indiana.
She also moved.
Yeah, she moved as well as Screech. But I don't know if Lisa was rich in Indiana. Maybe she won the lottery and just brought her friends along. I don't really know. The other character is Screech, and Screech's running theme through this episode is that he wants to dance with Lisa, tries to win her over with a dance with a giant rag doll that he has.
Yeah, he came out. He came down the stairs with that doll, and all I could think of was the beating he would have taken at my school.
1,000,000,000%. But instead, he tries to impress Lisa with like a 12-second dance routine where he literally just spins in a couple circles, and the audience wildly cheers for Screech as he does this.
Yeah. How much did they pay them to scream like that?
Oh no! Maybe like you know how like you're at a thing and it says applause and so you cheer. Maybe it says, "Do you want this kid to die?" And everyone just starts screaming. So I think we've laid out everyone's objectives here. Is that they all want to go to the dance, but there's issues preventing all of them from getting there.
The thing with Lisa too. So hold on. Zach and Buff Slater.
Slater, yes.
They're going to have a dance contest to impress Kelly Kapowski, right? Mm-hmm. The tall one, the showgirl's girl, is
Jesse.
Thinks she's too tall.
Yep.
And nobody likes her. Screech asks Lisa to go to the dance, and she says, "Wear dorks." Says no. But then the next day, goes with Byron.
Yeah.
He asks. And she uses that excuse with him. He asked me first. Right. We saw
Screech do it. Lisa, is this true? He asked me first, Screech. So Screech is book smart, but he's also an idiot at the same time. So here's something about this episode, though. Just in case you just don't love all things dancing, they gave us a nice little side plot of... every major character is in the band at school. Do you want to talk about this scene for a minute?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so for some reason, and I guess the only reason this whole scene was there was so Jesse could show off her dance moves.
Yeah, let me just state that the one thing that made me laugh in the show was the very first shot of the music teacher. Looks just like a guy who's just had enough.
Yes, there are a few teachers that become recurring in the show. Mr. Tuttle is the first one that comes to mind. The music teacher is not recurring.
Is that Lisa? Is that Lisa's? No, Lisa's Turtle, right?
Turtle, yeah. There's Turtle and Tuttle.
come on. The English language is vast.
They're really thinking this through. I'm trying to see what the band teacher's name was. I cannot remember it.
Mr. Morinch?
Yes. Well, they play some box, so maybe it's Mr. Locke or something like that. So.
And when he laughs to the Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, my laughter turned to rage.
Yeah, that's the reason why I want to talk about this scene. So, he says, first of all, the band is like flawless. They play every note perfectly. But they're playing it very slow and dull because the classical music sucks, man.
Yeah, and he's and he loves it. Yeah. Like, he's just into it, right?
Yeah, and then he excuses himself, and the band decides to really jazz it up a bit and show they are really, really good at this. And Jesse is a really good dancer, and they just start playing Beethoven's Fifth at like 8 times the speed.
They turn into the greatest band on earth.
Yeah. They're so good that there are instruments that are clearly not in the room, but you can hear them be played.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. I like that this scene is terrible, but I also think it's important because music does have a running theme throughout this show. The gang does form a legitimate band down the road called the Zack Attack. They're called the Zack Attack. And we get an entire episode about it. You're going to hate it.
Does AC Slater play in the Zack Attack?
He does. He plays drums. And I think
he plays in his rival's band named after his rival?
When you watch, I think Slater's the only one who can legitimately play an instrument. I think he is legitimately playing the drums.
He's the ringer that they brought in?
Yeah. Yeah. But why I mentioned that is Casey Kasem actually comes back for another episode to talk about the Zack Attack.
No.
We'll see Casey Kasem again. So if you really like those celebrity cameos.
Is he wearing another Bill Cosby sweater when he comes
back? I'm sure he is. I am sure he is.
Man, that sweater sure hasn't aged well.
Right. So my big question about this scene is the band teacher's in the room and he's conducting and it's boring and it's dumb because classical music is stupid.
Yep.
He leaves the room and they immediately kick up the tempo. Could he not hear the music the second the door closed? Is it a soundproof room?
Well, hold on. I think I might have an answer for this.
Okay.
Did he not say he was teaching 2 classes at once?
Oh, I didn't even catch that. They have 2 bands in their school.
What a budget that this school has for music.
Yeah. And nothing else.
Yeah, right? Because he said he was teaching 2 at once, so maybe he's in the other room listening and not hearing it.
Okay.
Now, it makes no sense that we don't hear any noise coming from the other room. But
that's true.
Let's not follow this too deeply down the rabbit hole.
Right. Yeah. If we start picking apart little continuity errors, these will be very, very long episodes. I do want to mention one other thing that we see very briefly. You may have even missed it. There's a moment in the Max early on where Zach looks to the camera. And
yes, let's talk about that.
Yeah. He speaks to the camera. He breaks the fourth wall.
He performs a soliloquy.
Yeah. This is another thing that we're going to see a lot. And it's going to get extensively worse because we find out eventually that Zach Morris has superhuman powers because he has the ability to say time out and everything around him freezes. That happens in future episodes where he can literally stop time and everyone is frozen in place while he talks to us, the viewer, about what is happening.
Does he ever use the time stop to solve his problems?
No, but he does do things to further his agendas sometimes.
Oh.
Yeah, he uses his powers for evil. So if you had the power to stop time, would you use it for good? And 2, would you use it to talk into a camera to the viewing audience?
I would just use it to take longer showers without people bothering me.
And throw people's shoes away for leaving them in the hall.
Oh, fuck. I just want to do something awful to the shoes. Like, yeah. I want to fill them with – I want to go get one of those live tilapias from the market and, like, keep it alive and put it in the fish and watch it flop around.
Do it. I encourage you fully to do that.
My last day, perhaps.
Yeah.
Stuff to live.
So we're kind of bouncing all over this episode, but –
Okay, they also in this one mentioned some guy named Fat Tommy.
Yeah, and Fat Tommy's never seen.
He's never seen? We never see Fat Tommy?
Not that I know of. It's just a random thing. Which is funny, since the school apparently only has 20 to 30 students at most.
Yeah, like there was a scene where Kelly and Jesse were in the locker rooms.
Yeah.
We're talking, like, where, like, Kelly's just clearly fat shaming Jesse on a scale. Like,
yeah.
The problem is the person on the scale. And then she starts making fun of her height. Like, where's the rest of the class? There's only 3 of them there.
Right. And the same thing was Slater and Screech later on in the locker room. Same locker room, by the way.
Yeah, until that guy walks by and Slater can't have his arm around Screech.
Oh, yes. There are some background characters that we come to know pretty regularly. There's one named Moose, who maybe that's Fat Tommy. Maybe they just call him Moose down the road. I don't know.
It's not the same Moose from Archie.
I mean, basically the same character. It's just a big, dumb monster of a man. So, yeah, but Moose, I don't know when Moose debuts. We'll see him down the road. And some of the nerds get names and things like that. But
well, they already named Byron.
Yeah, Byron is pretty much forgotten after this, though.
Oh, no, he's the best one.
Yeah, he's the only one. So if you had the executive power after this episode to keep Screech or Byron, would you have just said, let's just cut bait with Screech and keep this Byron kid?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the only change I could make, I suppose.
I mean, honestly, let's going back to it, Screech really is ugly, and not like TV ugly. He's legitimately an ugly person, isn't he?
Well, I mean, like, look, after the fact, he comes off like a tremendous asshole, too. Like,
sure.
Yeah. Ugly, I don't know. I don't know if he's ugly. He's just annoying.
Yeah.
Like, we all knew that kid, that punchable. Annoying kid. Yeah, punchable's a good word in light of recent events.
I believe he was punched on a celebrity boxing show at one point.
Yeah, for sure he was. For sure he was. Yeah. Like, imagine that guy getting that much power at that age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
And who are the girls? Because, you know, back then, like all those teen magazines, I'm sure Zach and Slater were beloved by teenage girls everywhere. But there had to be some girls out there who were like, I like Screech. Who are those people?
Look, there are women who will have sex with any celebrity.
That's true.
Like any – like King Kong Bundy probably had groupies. And not one of those groupies could support his weight.
I would argue that King Kong Bundy may be a better looking man than Samuel Screech Powers' Dustin Diamond.
I will take that argument.
Maybe we can get Andy Atherton to make that a great debate poll.
Who's better looking, King Kong Bundy
or Dustin Diamond Screech Powers?
F, Mary, kill Dustin Diamond, King Kong Bundy, or Kamala.
Gosh, well, Kamala,
kill Screech.
Did Kamala already die?
Is he dead?
I don't know. Oh, he lost a leg, maybe.
Yeah. He's just dead inside.
Yeah, I kill Screech for sure.
Yeah, that's the easy one.
Yeah, because I don't want anything else being on tape and going on the internet. So,
I guess, marry Bundy because you don't want to. You don't have to take care of
him. I was just going to say, I don't want to be someone's caretaker, you know, like, right? And like, do I have to paint the stars and moons on his chest and his belly? For? I don't want to do that.
You please, it's Cam, it's midnight. Can you stop smacking your belly?
We're totally off rails here, but have you ever heard Kamala's music? Not like his theme music, like Kamala himself recorded an album. Okay.
It's awful, right? Like it's
really bad.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah, okay. So you know what? Now that we're talking Kamala dancing, why don't we take a quick break? let's go to some commercials because we're on wrestling now. So why don't you take a quick minute and listen to some of the wrestling stuff as well as some of the music stuff and other stuff that Place to Be Nation has to offer. And we will be right back. Talk about more Saved by the Bell.
Kamala!
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTBN Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass, plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to the Saved by the Bell cast, episode 1. We are talking about Dancing to the Max. Aaron and I have been talking about characters in Saved by the Bell, Bayside High School, all things. We have not been too kind yet. But Aaron, I don't think we're being mean. I think it's just a product of its time. You know, 1989, 1990, as we look at it in 2019, not a lot of stuff is going to hold up well, do you think?
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I thought I was gonna be the mean one. And your assault on Dustin Diamond's looks is probably the meanest thing that's happened.
Well,
so.
Listen, we're about to do something even meaner. I had you bring up Google, but I didn't tell you what to look up yet.
Yeah.
When we talk about assaulting looks and we talk about not holding up well, I would like you to Google Lark Voorhees face.
Okay, hold on. Lark, L-A-R-K?
Yep, and Voorhees, V-O-O-R-H-E-E-S, the same thing. Now, Lark
face.
Voorhees is, yeah, Lisa Turtle, and I'd like you to see what she looks like now. And tell me if you see images for Lark Voorhees' face. I guess she's not, like, hideous, but she looks very, very different.
She looks like she's been tanning with sunglasses and a chin cap.
Yes. Yeah. She's lost her chin, and she's slightly losing her nose. That was a subject of some controversy a few years back. It just kind of came out, like, what happened to Lisa Turtle's face? I think that's kind of mean. So why not bring
yeah,
it up?
It's pretty mean. But hold on, I just clicked on something.
Okay.
Lark Voorhees slammed Bill Cosby's Instagram. I need to see.
Slammed.
Well, anyone who defends this man is defending the devil himself.
Well,
right, fair.
I agree with that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, the devil. Like, I mean, he didn't really cause the fall of man or anything like that.
No, he just... Yeah, well, anyways, speaking of things that did not age well. So, back to the episode. We kind of touched on all the characters. So they've got all these issues going into this big dance-off, and then dance party happens.
We talked about one character.
Who's that?
The fat principal.
Oh, Mr. Belding, of course.
Yeah, we got to at least touch on him.
The big bopper, yes.
I was under the impression that when you cast a show like this, you cast these kids, and some of them are varying degrees of good actors, bad actors, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then you cast the adults as good actors.
Right.
What
yeah.
happens?
Well, and that's kind of what the first season that we won't watch was based off. And it was basically all about Haley Mills, who was a known adult actress. She was the main character, Miss Bliss.
Adult? She was an adult actress?
No, that's Screech. No, I mean, I don't know. Maybe she was. Google that if you want to.
I bet she was an adult actress.
She was an adult who was an actress.
Okay.
But yeah, that first season really was about, you know, the teachers just as much as it was the students, whereas now it's all students, and then the teachers are usually like the comedy, like dolts. And Mr. Belding does play a big role here. He he becomes a much larger character as the show goes on. I don't remember, was he listed in the opening credits? I know Ed Alonzo was listed.
Yes, he was. Okay, they're both listed.
Okay, yeah, I know he got on there. Dennis Haskins as Mr. Belding.
Yeah, he was. I was expecting him to be like at least like a passable actor, but like Casey Kasem was acting circles around him.
Yes, he was.
God's sake. Yeah. You know, like also too. Do you feel it weird that they, because the whole thing was that he was the big bopper, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he starts calling Casey Kasem the big C.
I didn't even notice that.
That's cancer. He's calling him cancer.
Well, maybe he's throwing shade at him.
Maybe. And in this scene, it's a short little scene, but like it's something that I noticed as a kid, and it's even more apparent as an adult. Mm-hmm. That the people writing this show write in references from like 20, 30 years ago that they're supposed to laugh at now.
Yes.
So they're talking about the twist in this one.
Yep.
And like it's exactly that. It's like I remember as a kid always having to ask my parents what things like that were.
Right. Well, how about the fact that the kids all cheered when Max announced that Casey Kasem would be there?
Yeah, I know.
Even especially now, is Casey Kasem even alive anymore? Didn't he go missing for a while or something? I don't.
Is he missing? Or that
Richard Simmons? I don't know.
Richard Simmons abducted Casey Kasem.
Sure. I'm going to type in Casey Kasem missing.
He's dead. He's dead. He's dead.
He is dead. Okay. But yeah, obviously now he wouldn't be known. But I think even in 1989, teenagers would not know who Casey Kasem was. They might know who he is, but they wouldn't care.
They might hear. They might recognize his voice.
The voice. Absolutely. That's what I was going to say. They might know who he was from the radio because we did listen to the radio back then.
But they'd certainly be a walking skeleton that walked into their restaurant.
Casey Kasem. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Casey's the big host of Dance Party. They hold the episode at the Max, and we see the finals. How many teams do you think entered?
Oh, probably 600 or 700.
that's my Easily. Thought. And I think it's kind of gross that Max himself does the scoring.
Yeah, what is he putting in there to make that rise?
I have no red water, man.
red water.
So, and he's got the stupid hat that claps, like the hands that clap.
Is that the only thing that's being measured for the applause?
it's lined directly to Max's hat.
But what a poorly designed hat! Like, don't put pads on it if you're going to make it clap.
So it makes no sound at all. Oh, gosh. So we see the finalists, and to the shock of no one, the six main characters all wind up in the finals.
Obviously, we have to talk about the team names, too.
Yeah, exactly. So we see first, is it Slater and Jesse? Come on,
The Spandex Twins.
Yeah, the Spandex Twins come out first, and they live up to the name. At least Slater does. Kelly Moore has a dress on.
What's the time frame? When did they have time to go get these matching outfits?
I don't know at all. And how did those outfits help their dance in any way whatsoever?
If anything, it hindered.
I know. It made them look ridiculous. Like, I think Zach and Jesse's outfits are at least a little more like, okay, I get it, you know?
The powerhouse preppies?
Yeah, like that one is a little more, not that I would say it's like a good outfit, but
When did they have time to put that together?
Yeah, exactly.
Those are way more intricate than spandex.
And I'm guessing Slater just had the spandex with him at all times. I'm thinking he's always wearing it. And in fact, I'm almost positive there's an episode where he rips off his clothes to reveal that he is wearing spandex at one point in the series.
He's like, I don't know if you watch Arrested Development, but he's like Joe Bluth.
Yes, he is.
Like, you mean he can wear stripper clothes all the time?
And he's like Tobias. He's a never nude.
But with spandex.
But with spandex, just in case he has to dance.
So there are dozens of us.
Yeah, they come out, they do like a 20-second dance routine that, I don't know, is nothing, really.
It's the best of them, though.
It is. And I do think that Slater is the best dancer of the six.
Yeah.
And I think Kelly was a little bit on a high horse there, demanding that Zach be good. She didn't show me anything special.
That was absurd. That whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so Kelly's really kind of nothing this episode. I feel like she's just kind of there. But then we have the powerhouse preppies, Zach and Jesse come out.
Jesse.
And we've already seen them practice their routine. Like, did we see this exact routine three times in the same episode? At least twice, right?
Yes. And
in a 22-minute episode.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, it's only like 10 seconds long. But
sure.
At one point, she says, check out this new move I just invented. Okay? And it's just a basic grapevine. I don't know if that, that term is familiar to you, but it's just like – it's the very first move you learn if you do any dance class.
Yeah, she invented it though. So you probably never took a dance class till after this show was already on.
That's true. So. And it was weird that her picture was on the wall at the dance class.
Looking down at you.
Yeah, but it was her showgirls picture, so again, it was even stranger.
But she was in that famous Andre the Giant pose, you know, with arms crossed, looking down menacingly.
Oh my god, can we talk about the arms crossed? Every time there's a camera shot that's like that encompasses any of their bodies, all the girls have their arms crossed in the most awkward way.
Yeah, it's almost like, I mean, I think these were like actual teenagers at the time the show was on, and like no one really coached them. Like they probably were insecure about the fact that they were being watched by people and videotaped, and like no one told them, like, hey, maybe don't do some of these things, you know?
They didn't have any. They didn't have any good adult actors to like learn from on the set,
right? Exactly, Mr. Belling. What should we do? I don't know.
I don't know.
Have you tried screaming everything? You know? Oh gosh! And then we
Mr. Belding also felt like a really early draft of Mr. Krupp from Captain Underpants.
Also, too, Mr. Belding's sweater. We mentioned it being a Cosby sweater, but it's like it looks like a Tetris game is being played on his chest.
Yeah, horizontally though. Yeah. Horizontally,
exactly. Anyways,
what must that sweater have smelled like?
I mean, he'd been doing the twist all day, hanging out with Max. Oh, he's hanging out with Max. It probably smelled like chloroform.
Max, why do you have all this chloroform back here?
He douses the hands in it. And so as the hands start clapping, it spreads through the restaurant. Oh, we've just uncovered a dark, dark twist on this.
When you were a teenager, did you guys actually have like a hangout you went to like that?
Because
like you see these a lot in shows, like in this show, 90210, another terrible show.
Mm-hmm. right.
Like they have these like places they all go. The owner knows them. Like that has never been my experience. Like, most of the time, they just want teenagers to leave.
Exactly. Like when I was in high school, there was two places. There was an ice cream shop directly across the street from the high school, and there was like a little diner like two blocks away. And teenagers would go there, but it wasn't like a hangout. We'd go, we'd eat, we'd leave.
Yeah.
You know, and like I couldn't tell you any of the owner's names. They did not like us, you know. Like you said, they just wanted us to leave. And it wasn't like everyone just chilled and hung out. It was usually a race to get there and like a fight for the booths. So you could actually sit down and eat. So, yeah, no, nothing like this place. And honestly, if there was a guy like Max around, I'd like to think that we would be alert enough to recognize the dangers.
To contact the proper authorities.
Exactly. But for real, another thing about the writers of the show, like not just mentioning like old references and stuff, but thinking that like a magician would be someone that teenagers would think is a cool guy. Just like, how about he does magic tricks? High schoolers love magic.
Well, in fairness to them on that point, they all are not impressed. So at least they're not all like going nuts over him.
That's
like
true.
That feels like a choice where like they're like, we just need something. Oh, what are we going to do? Just make him a magician.
I wonder if he's like, I wonder if Ed Alonzo is an actual, is a magician by trade who just happened to get on the show.
Well, you call the penitentiary and you'll find out. get in touch with him.
Okay. So we got one more dance crew. Screech and Lisa come out hobbling. So Screech, of course, gets his date. Do you remember Screech's outfit?
Yes, I just watched it.
Okay.
And those shorts, I mean, I don't
– yeah.
I couldn't hear the music of the show over the loudness of the shorts.
If those shorts had a name, I would call them Rainbow Sherbert. like – the kid's goofy looking enough, and they just go out of their way to make him look terrible. But anyways, we've really bashed Screech enough.
So and his hideous body. We haven't talked about his body. His body's disgusting.
There is that scene where he's sitting in the gym with Slater. They're both in their gym clothes. And Slater's just like this chiseled man. And Screech is just this boy.
The t-shirt is so big on him, it doesn't look like he's wearing pants.
Right, that's what it always looks like with Screech. His clothes are always gigantic. It looks like he was filming scenes from, like, the movie Big. Like, when Josh turns back into a child. Oh, gosh.
I have so much solace in the fact that this guy is such a douche in real life that I don't feel too bad about.
Like that he did not gain like fame and he did not keep his wealth. There's some happiness there for us.
It's given him no perspective on life at all.
None at all. Yeah. Gosh, I wonder if he has a Twitter. I'll look him up when we get off the air here. But
I wonder when he's going to get murdered. That's going to happen, right?
By Ed Alonso.
I don't know what happened. I went into his house.
I was wearing my clapping hat.
I heard clapping. So I heard soft clapping coming from the back of the room.
What was the name of Lisa and Screech? What was her team name?
I don't know. I didn't catch the name, but the dance is the Sprain.
Yeah, the Sprain. And it's a stupid dance. It's not good.
No, it's awful. And it's a travesty of justice that they win the whole contest.
Yeah. Which, again, speaks to the – if Screech is a nerd, why does everyone love him?
Here's another question for you. Kelly, who wanted two guys to have a dance-off so that she could have the best possible partner, right?
Yep.
Is at the end getting everyone to cheer Screech.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Do you think she made out with Screech after this episode?
Oh, she for sure boned him. Like, she just went to town.
She gave him a few scenes of his own, so.
If you know what I mean.
And that's basically how the episode ends, is they win, and Casey announces them as the winner, and that's kind of the end of the episode.
Casey starts doing the Sprain.
Yeah, they all start doing the Sprain. And that's about it.
In Canada, we call that the Terry Fox.
Okay, perfect.
Does that have any context for you?
None at all.
He's like the most famous Canadian of all time.
I would think like Wayne Gretzky or something.
Well, I mean, probably not that, but like every school in Canada has like a Terry Fox thing every year.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's a guy, he got cancer. This is another dark story, I'm sorry. He got cancer and he lost his leg, so he decided to run across the country to raise money for...
Oh, I've heard of that. Okay, I didn't know the name. I've heard, yeah.
Yeah, so he ran, and we raise money for him every year. My parents claim that they saw him driving home from Nova Scotia. They're like, we saw him in the night, and we didn't see him in the night. Was he robbing you? Like,
he was wearing a hat that was clapping.
You would have heard him coming with his leg.
Right. He can't really sneak up on you.
Is there a robot back there? Am I being robbed by a robot?
Oh. Terry Fox. Did you guys like get the day off school for Terry Fox Day or anything? Or
no, we have to run for it. We don't celebrate it. It's imposition now.
Like, listen, guys, this guy with a robot leg can run. You better run.
You better run.
Oh, man.
And, like, Screech would be the guy who, like, isn't running in the gym class and we're all punching as we run by. Which is sadly something I used to do to somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's one thing I do think this show got right. Not in how he's presented with his peers, but Screech really does look the part of, like, the punchable dork.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's just punchable. You know, I don't think he ever really gets beaten up in this show. He gets picked on, of course. And we're going to see... later on down the road, Bayside does have a rival school, and Screech is the target of some of their plots.
What's the rival school called? Is it Eastside?
No, it's called Valley.
Oh, were they also in Indiana at first?
The Great Valleys of Indiana.
And that's what I think of when I think of race cars and Valley.
Yeah, there's one episode where I can't remember which episode it is, but one of the Valley girls like pulls off this prank, and then she starts talking like in this thick like New York accent.
They're into California.
Yeah, like, hey, Frankie, baby, like. What got him going? I can't even talk like that.
That's what you get, honey, for messing with the web.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, what? Did Americans even write this show? I don't know that they did.
That's what we think Americans sound like.
Yeah! Based right out of Pickersteady. Indiana sounds good. Nah, California.
Gotta park the car in Bayside.
Also, too, Indiana and California are so far apart.
Yes!
Like, obviously, like, in terms of culture, it's so different, but just geographically, they're so far apart.
Well, it's almost the whole diagonal of
the
country.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana is just on the edge. I'm in Eastern time zone, which is the East Coast. Indiana is Central time, and California is Pacific. It's like a two-hour time difference.
Yeah.
So...
But it's like just Central, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like right as you cross, because Michigan borders Indiana a little bit, and right as you cross into Indiana, actually, Indiana may be Eastern too. It might be when you go into Illinois, because I've made that trip to Chicago many times. You just tuck through Indiana. You go through Gary, Indiana, the home of the Jacksons, by the way.
Yeah.
Another group of talented kids. Not quite as talented as the Bayside Six. But...
No. The Zach Morris All-Stars. I only drove near Indiana once. I was coming home from Chicago with my dad, my girlfriend at the time in the car, was now my wife, and my dad was so angry at something he didn't want to stop anywhere. And we'd start singing Erie, Indiana just to upset him further. It's not a positive trip.
Yeah, no. The nice thing about that drive from where I live to Chicago is you're in Indiana for literally about 30 miles, and that's it. It's just kind of like you go through the top crack of it, and that's it. So, so I've never seen Bayside, Indiana. I've never made the trip.
Have you? Well, one day I'll get to see those glorious valleys, though.
Yeah, go find Ms. Bliss. Ask her what happened. So, Aaron, let's rate the episode. I figure a 1 to 10 scale is the easiest way to do this. Maybe as we get into it, we could, alter that some ways. But if you were to rate this on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it?
What are we comparing it to?
That's the tough part for me, is, like, I can compare it to Saved by the Bell episodes. You can't.
Yeah. Like, am I comparing it to Seinfeld? Because then it's a zero.
Right, exactly. Well, that's kind of like how we approach it. Because you and I were on the Seinfeld project that we did for years for Place to Be.
And well, maybe one first, day finish.
Yeah, those first couple seasons are pretty bad by Seinfeld standards. I would tell you this is not bad by Saved by the Bell standards. This is about what you get all the way through. It's not that it does not get better over time. I don't think it gets significantly worse over time either. It's about as cheesy as it always is.
Yeah, see, I could live with cheesy. It's all the other nonsense.
Sure,
like
sure, yeah.
Out of 10, but I have no basic comparison.
Sure. Well, here's something you can compare it on. I believe you did this for a project for PCB. You watched Fuller House, correct?
Oh, Fuller House is worse.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah, so Fuller House is zero, then this would be like three.
Okay. Three sounds good. I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it since I know it's the first episode. I just thought a five right off the bat seems about right for me. It's certainly not one of the most memorable episodes. Sadly, it's not one of the worst episodes, but it's far from one of the, quote, best episodes.
But you're comparing to...
To Saved by the Bell, yeah.
So yeah.
I have that knowledge to go through because I've seen the episodes, so...
Like, so your Seinfeld episodes you rated that were fives. Like, if you were to like...
a Seinfeld five is a Saved by the Bell 200.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that's about it. Oh, Mr. By the way, I was looking on the Saved by the Bell fandom wiki. Thanks for editing this for us, Jason Sherman. Mr. Margulies is the name of the band teacher.
Margulies?
Yeah, that was the band teacher. Mr. Margulies. And also it says the guest cast Joe Davis as coach. Who was the coach?
I don't remember seeing. Maybe he was dancing at the beginning.
I guess.
Maybe he was hitting on the teenage girls at the beginning.
Was he like lurking in the locker room when Jesse and Kelly were talking? I don't.
You guys okay in there?
Get okay, out of here, checking. Coach.
Just checking. Sorry. I thought I heard a noise. Everything.
Are we in Indiana or California? Oh, gosh.
Here, Kelly, put this rag in front of your face.
Wear this hat.
Oh, God. This is going to be quite an adventure, I think.
Yeah, I do think it's so weird that the crowd just wildly cheers for Screech's dancing. Like, does that speak to Lisa's popularity, their inability to recognize dancing talent? Or is it something where Screech is like, gosh, is it like a make-a-wish situation?
Was Dustin Diamond dying? And that's why he has this show?
Maybe it was.
See, like if I was dying, that'd be my wish. And then maybe I could make enough money to like pay for the treatments I need.
Right.
I would like, my wish is a television show that lasts 10 seasons, yeah. And I'm the lead, and I'm paid at scale.
By the way, I did find that Dustin Diamond was on Twitter.
What's his last tweet?
Let's see. He tweeted this month, as recently as this month. So, do you want to guess how many followers Dustin Diamond has? He is unverified, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess he has 75,000.
Not even close. 14,000. So
that's it?
Yeah, the Saved by the Bell love has not carried over with him. I think he really – if he was just still Screech to most people, I think he'd be more well-received. But all that Dustin Diamond stuff.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Because I went to Dustin Diamond's thing, and as I scrolled down, who to follow – Dennis Haskins, right?
Verified.
And his little quote is, still chasing the dream.
And his name, he's at Mr. Belding.
Oh, no.
His Twitter handle is at Mr. Belding.
He's got 45,000 followers.
Wow. Okay, Mark Paul got her verified. Which he's still got shows and stuff. Tiffany Thiessen, verified.
Yeah. Elizabeth Berkley's got her.
Yeah, I mentioned. I found Mario Lopez. Of course, he said. I think I just saw Lark Voorhees too, and I think she was. I think Screech is the only unverified Twitter account. Wow. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, Lark is verified, and she's only got 9,000 followers.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have friends that have more followers.
I think
than
Ben
this
Morse
kid.
Has more than that.
Ben Morse for sure has more.
Let's see what Ben Morse had.
21,000. He's got more.
He's got almost as much as Screech and Lisa combined.
He's more legit than Screech or Lisa Tuttle.
I bet she's a better dancer too.
Oh yeah. He rips that shirt off. Look out. Out.
So Ben, if you're listening, you are welcome to join us and bring that Twitter audience with you. So
you're gonna at Screech, right? When you publish.
Oh gosh, do we want to?
We can receive a lawsuit. From
do we want that stink on us?
It's not Mr. Belding; it's Screech.
That's true. So before we go, there's a segment I want to do as long as we can. And for these first episodes, we totally can. So what we're going to see as the show goes on is that Zach is a bit of a monster. Zach does some really dastardly things. You know, he really abuses his power in friendships, and he goes to great lengths to see that he gets what he wants, even at the expense of other people. So we're going to do a segment called What Really Happened? And I'm going to give you three scenarios, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them actually happens in a Saved by the Bell episode, and I want to see if you can guess what actually happened. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. All right, so for the first one, I didn't go like full awful Zach, but I thought, okay, here's one that popped in my head. Okay, so there's an episode coming down the line where a teen line is established, where the kids of Bayside can call up on the phone and chat with people and get to know – like a dating line, right?
Okay. It's not like a suicide prevention line.
No, there is something like that though, I think, too. Maybe that's teen line. I don't know. But Zach meets a girl over the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he sets up meeting her in person. So which of the following things actually happens? Does Zach meet the girl in person and reject her because she is fat? Does he meet the girl and reject her because she is black? Or does he meet the girl and reject her because she is in a wheelchair?
Ooh.
One of these three things actually happens in an episode of Saved by the Bell.
Well, I'm sure it teaches us a lesson about acceptance. I'm going to guess. I'm going to say this feels obvious.
Okay.
I say this, but I think it's the wheelchair.
You are very astute after one episode of the teachings. I will say this, though. It's a little bit of a trick question because there is another episode where Zach rejects a fat girl who –
Well, she's also she's a fat black girl in the wheelchair.
She wins a date with him in an auction and he's disgusted that she wins. So that's another episode. But yeah, so Zach meets this girl. He really hits it off with her and then he finds out she's in a wheelchair and he is just conflicted. But he gets through it. He ends up dating her, and he puts together a charity wheelchair basketball game, and none of that is made up.
Great. You ever seen the Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry David tries to make out with the girl in the wheelchair?
That does not happen.
Save
the bell. But what does happen in the wheelchair basketball game is that the tip-off, Slater leaps out of his wheelchair to grab the ball, and they have to explain to him the rules of wheelchair basketball are that you can't leave the wheelchair. So
what is he money that was clear? They can't walk, Slater. Obviously, you can dunk over them. Listen, what we're trying to do here.
That is something that we will get to see is the gym of Bayside High School soon. They did not have a lot of funds. Mr. Belding spent it all on covering up his murders, I guess.
Sweaters.
Maybe he did, because that's where all the students are. No, they're all dead.
They're all dead in the gym?
Yeah. And all the school funds went to disposing of the bodies. So
we got
to
put a new floor in. Why? Well, I broke the old floor.
So you're one for one on this segment. That does not happen for a couple seasons. I don't mind spoiling stuff like that. Like, this is really it's
really
not a mystery.
I'm not in this for the plot.
Right. Although there is a murder mystery episode, so I won't spoil the ending to that one for you.
Max.
I really think I could just say anything, and it's so absurd that you might be like, okay, sure, that sounds like an episode.
I guess. Like, look, it couldn't be – like, it's like, no, they're not going to make it. He rejects someone because they're black. Like, that. Sure. That's like that bit too far. I thought about fat.
Yep.
Maybe because there's Fat Tom or Tim or whatever his name was in this episode. But no, I'm sure they teach a lesson. It's about a lesson, right, for kids.
This is a show where lessons are taught.
You lie and you get everything you want, right?
Yeah, basically. I was going to say something else that Zach does, but we'll save that for next week and see if you can guess. But it's a pretty nasty lesson that we will learn. So we made it through one episode.
Yes.
I don't know how many episodes there are. I think we could do this, though. I think we can long haul this.
What is it, like 15, 20 episodes?
I don't know how many there are. By the way, the episode where Zach realizes he's part Native American is called Running Zach.
Of course it is.
Let me look up the episode guide. See how many more of these episodes you have to do.
Now what I want to say to everybody who's listening, and I'm sure there's those who are listening and like, oh, this guy's such an asshole for thinking this about my favorite show. If you write me any feedback about any of this, I will read it on the podcast and I will address it.
Yeah, because we welcome that.
Yeah, I will definitely address anything you read. My case with all these shows is that, like, I never want to shit on anybody's nose. This is what I wrote. I remember because I had a friend the other – it's funny you brought up Fuller House. I had a friend the other day on Facebook who listed their shows they watched of all the episodes of, and one of them was Fuller House, so I had to say something. What are you doing? Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, it's our favorite show in the house. And so I went back and found that review and read it because I was like, oh, just here's what I thought of it. But what I said in it is very much like, it's one thing to you know, look back and, like, you know, like, I loved Family Matters when I was a kid.
Sure.
You know, I thought it was so much fun. I will not try to convince you that it's a good show, though.
Right. And that's my perspective coming from this. I have seen this show so many times, and I loved it as a kid. It's a part of my childhood. There's a lot of nostalgia to Saved by the Bell, but I have no problem getting out here and talking about how absurd some of this stuff is now.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't even think it's because I'm an adult. I think if I showed this to my teenage sons now, they would think it's ridiculous.
Well, my son watches a comedy show. It's like a bunch of kids on Netflix. Timmy, Remy. Not Remy. Mm-hmm. Huey. It's not Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Nicky, Dicky, Ficky. It's one of those. they all rhyme. But, like, it's the same kind of thing. Like, it's like he clearly likes it. The production value is higher than whatnot, but that's just because it's now, right?
Sure.
And I would never – I would actually probably never shit on that show because I see how much joy it brings him.
Right.
Like, I just hope that the people listening to this – are mature enough to understand that I'm not trying to take your joy away.
Right. I just found something.
How many episodes are there?
Okay, so there are 86 episodes total.
You're taking my joy away.
Yeah. Now, there is a Saved by the Bell movie called Saved by the Bell Hawaiian Style, which maybe we can visit. Takes place after high school. And then they had Saved by the Bell the college years. I'm not interested in doing that. Don't really care. There was also Saved by the Bell the new class, where after they all graduated, Screech was like a vice principal or something, and it was like a whole new cast of kids. We're not doing
you know
that
what
either.
I think I've seen – I have actually seen that one, I think.
The new class with Screech as the – Yeah,
not extensively, but
– Yeah, I checked out on that. Even growing up, I didn't stick with that one, so I – have no desire to revisit that one. But so, Aaron, as someone who is in acting, I know that when – you may know the answer to this. When a director is not proud of the final product, doesn't he use like a pseudonym name? Have you heard this before?
Yeah, I've heard that. It's often more when like – that is often used more when someone else has changed his work.
Okay. Because as I'm going through the Wikipedia, now this is not an episode we'll be watching. It's the pilot episode of the first season, which it's called Saved by the Bell now. It's actually called Good Morning, Miss Bliss. The pilot episode was directed – and this is a perfect spot tonight. It was directed by Peter Boners. So that cannot be a real name. Boners with a Z. B-O-N-E-R-Z.
Yeah. Yep.
That's about it. So, yeah. Like you said, you know, if you're listening and you're really furious, this may not be the show for you. We're not saying that you're dumb for liking the show. We're not saying you're wrong for liking the show. Because I've liked the show for most of my lifetime. I watch it now and I still... It's cool because you can kind of remember where you were at the time, you know, and all my friends watch it too. That's why I think it's interesting to have you, because someone my age that does not know Saved by the Bell is actually kind of rare,
right?
You know, so you offer a different perspective, and I'm sure there's going to be episodes that I might wind up defending to you a little bit, where you're just going to think I'm being absurd. This is not one of them. But I think down the road we might have some episodes where I give them like a 7 or an 8 rating and you're going to just be stunned and give it a 1 or a 2. I don't see you going higher than 2 or 3 on most episodes, and that's fair. But yeah, I think this is a great episode to start with. Obviously, it's the first one, but it really gives us everything that we're looking for, Saved by the Bell. The characters, the plots. This is what Saved by the Bell is, and it does not really deviate in its entire run. There is one part of one season where it's set in a different place. We'll talk about that when we get there.
Right.
And there's a little bit of cast change, but not much. One down, 85 to go.
What a life.
What's that Batman villain who just carves it into his skin when he kills him? Victor Zsasz? He's just going to carve that into your flesh every time you finish watching an episode?
It's already carved into my soul, so yeah, we're good.
Exactly. Why not? So, all right. Well, if you stuck with us through the end, we appreciate it. We are going to be here and watching these shows. We encourage you to watch with us. Go ahead and watch it and give us some feedback. You can reach me or Aaron. I know we're both on Facebook. We're in the Place to Be Nation live chats where a lot of people would be glad to discuss Saved by the Bell with you. Aaron, you want to give out your Twitter handle, or is that something you do not prefer to do?
I don't know what it is.
Okay, gotcha. And you know what? I usually just reserve Twitter for complaining about video games and politics. So
yeah, it's the best place to discuss politics.
Yeah, well, I do it. I'll make a tweet, and I will, even before I have a mention, I will turn them. I will mute them just in case.
You don't want that storm.
Exactly. So, but yeah, we would like to hear not just what you think of Saved by the Bell. What do you think of the show? What would you like us to talk about? What would you like us to discuss? The next episode that we will be watching is season 1, episode 2. It's called The Lisa Card. Here's what happens. And here's where we're going to find a little bit more about Lisa and her character. Lisa's dad lets her use a credit card as a reward for doing well in school, but she goes overboard with her spending, and they have to come up with ways to help her make some of that money back to pay her dad. So that's the shenanigans that they're up to next week. If you have any thoughts on that one, let us know. All right, for Aaron George, I'm Jordan Duncan. Thanks for listening. Bye.
I hate you, Jordan.
Love you, too. I'm saved by the